it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
Whoever we play, you know, we're going to prepare accordingly and try to get a win.
However the cards may fall, we're excited for the next opportunity. It's a brand new season now. Brand new season. Looking forward to the opportunity of whoever we get to play.
We failed. We've learned our lesson. We got back in the building. We've worked. You know, it's kind of just that blue-collar way. It's Buffalo.
We're anxious and excited to go out there chomping at the bit so they get out on the field.
We got the best tools to have a chance.
By no means does this feel like we've accomplished what we want to accomplish. The main goal is to win a Super Bowl.
No! Who's fired up?
Well done. Top notch.
Who's
top
fired
notch?
Up? Bills, Patriots, this, game week!
This game, I told this to Jay Bird before the show. This is my view of what these teams are thinking coming into this game. Remember that Rocky 1, the movie? And there's this huge battle, this huge fight. You know, it's like 15 rounds, right? Rocky gets Apollo Creed to the 15th round. And as Apollo Creed leaves his corner, his trainer says, stick and move. Don't let him near you. And on the other side, I'm a professional here. On the other side, Rocky's trainer tells him, don't let him breathe. Get on him. Right? So one side's saying, get on this guy. Don't let him breathe. And the other guy's, don't let him near you. That's the two quarterbacks in this game. The Patriots do not want Mac Jones to have any say in the outcome of this game.
Any say?
The Bills, no, they got the atomic bomb taking snaps. And all they got to do is put him on target. That's it.
Okay.
You got one team, like the Bills are looking at the Patriots going, man, I got to get their quarterback. We got to put the game in his hands. And the Patriots are going, let's get the ball out of that guy's hands. Hmm. That's what this game is coming down to. And they got two really good defenses that are going to try and get it done.
And two pretty good run games. The Bills' run game has kind of surged here in the last month of the season. And that combined with a defense that appears to be peaking in all facets of its play. Like, you know what I mean? They finally have put it all together,
right,
on the defensive side of the ball, the Bills have. And meanwhile, the Patriots' defense has been slipping. The last 3 or 4 weeks, they have gone from being ranked 8th in the league in run defense to 22nd in 5 weeks, Steve. And
do you trust that that's who they are? Just as much as you trust is who the Bills have become. I mean, both these teams.
It's
are
a
like,
trend.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Bills
it's
are
a trend.
Well, the Bills are trending correctly in the right way, and the Patriots are not. I don't know if I believe that is like an identity.
Well, I mean,
but
when it comes down to one game, anything can happen.
If
but
you're a Bills fan, that's where you want to see it.
If you're going into the game, I can't imagine you like the looks of that as a Patriots fan.
But if you're Bill Belichick, don't you say, listen, you acknowledge it. You analyze it and say, you know what? We're just getting this happened and this happened. We're fixing that. We're right back to number whatever it was, 8.
You wipe the slate clean. It's a new season.
Yeah.
I get all of that. But it doesn't change this fact. Fact number one, Patriots linebackers are slow. And the Bills exploited the lack of ground they are able to cover in the short to intermediate areas with check down throws. And then after they got those linebackers to suck up to fill that void, tossing it behind them and in front of the safeties.
Yeah,
and that's why Isaiah McKenzie went off in week 16.
Is Isaiah McKenzie going to catch another 11 balls on 12 targets?
And I don't know if they're going to let him. And if they want to pay
will he
that.
Will be on the field?
If they want to pay that, I don't know how you can't.
Right.
How do you not put the guy that had 11 catches for 125 yards on the field? Even if you don't throw it to him 12 times. He is going to draw attention.
I'll say this, though.
Is he not?
I'll say this, though. You know I'm right. Taking that guy off the field is something the Patriots would do if they had a guy like that that did that to us in our second game. You would, like, not even see the guy the next game.
Why?
That's the way they do. Because they think you're going to do that.
Oh, come on. You have a player
I'm telling you,
that is extraordinarily productive against that team just 3 weeks ago. You put him back on the field. Whether you're going to throw it to him 12 times or not, put him on the damn field. You want to know why? Because he's going to draw attention. He's earned their respect. They have to do something different than they did the last time.
Well, that's just
it. They have to.
Well, that's just it. They got to have a plan for him. And if they spend their time making that plan, hit him with a different plan.
Exactly. You put him on the field. You don't take him off the field. No way, Jose. You can't. He's respected by that defense now. He tooled Miles Bryant for 3.5 hours.
I mean, they know who he is, that's for sure. And that'll be interesting to see. And we've said it, talked about it all week, talked to all our guests and everything about this game is going to be fascinating as to what these teams want to do to each other. What are they, the game plan they put together.
And
you've seen each other, like, within the last 6 weeks, you've met twice already.
And the Patriots may have to get awfully creative defensively, and this is why. They have a shortage of cornerback right now.
Right.
Jalen Mills, one of their two starting corners, he starts opposite J.C. Jackson, put on the COVID reserve list yesterday. Now, he does still have time to test out, because the newer rules allow players to get back faster, but he's got to test out before Saturday. It's already Wednesday. So that's not a lock. Although,
well, yesterday, Wednesday's one day, Thursday's one day, Friday's one day, Saturday's only 4 days.
Yeah. So he's not a lock to test out. He's not.
It's only 4 days. You got to have five, don't you? Tuesday, it's a Saturday game. He loses a day.
It's a Saturday game. So whether Tuesday counts as a day or not, we don't know.
Whatever. Right.
They also put rookie cornerback Sean Wade on COVID reserve Monday. Now, he doesn't play a lot to begin with, but if you don't have Jalen Mills, you may need Sean Wade. You might not have him either.
Right.
And then they just got Miles Bryant back off the COVID list on Monday. He missed last week's game at Miami. So who played nickel for the Patriots last week against the Miami Dolphins? D'Angelo Ross, practice squad corner, he played 68% of the snaps.
That's like the old
D'Angelo Ross. Have you ever heard of him? I haven't.
So,
and I actually pay attention to this stuff with rosters.
D'Angelo Ross is—he's a guy. It reminds me of a story I heard back in the day, in the '60s, '70s, maybe. One of the new coaches in the league back then said, listen, we're going to have a special teams captain. We're going to have an offense, a defense, and a special teams captain.
Okay.
And it was nobody did that, right? So, they get out there and they go, captain, and they used to introduce him, captain, Captain Smith, Captain Jones, Captain Zeta, and special teams captain, Captain such. And the other team goes, captain who?
Oh, my gosh.
Captain who? That was... So,
oh boy,
that's who D'Angelo Ross is, Captain Who.
So right, and then you also to help address their potential shortage of corners, the Patriots are already taking preemptive moves. They signed cornerback Cravon LeBlanc to their practice squad yesterday, and then the day before they signed cornerback DJ McDaniel, an undrafted rookie out of Georgia, to the practice squad on Monday. So they're signing reinforcements in the event that they don't have these other guys. And they have another corner, Juwan Williams, who's a reserve player. They don't want to put that guy on the field. They played D'Angelo Ross in the slot.
Right. You got to tip your hat because, I mean, it's harder than ever in today's NFL to keep track of all the practice squad rosters and stuff. I get it. They're backed into a corner. But they left him out there, too.
They did. And Jalen Waddle did not have a big game. Now, Tua only threw for 109 yards in the whole damn game. But that's the guy they're going with going
Why
forward.
Why would they? Hey, that's not bad.
That's a whole other story for another day.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into that in the offseason.
And we will.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
And and I'll take it a step further, Steve. Kyle Duggar, their safety. You know how they play that three safety look? Kyle Duggar missed last week's game with a hand injury. Back on the injured list this week. Now, it's a playoff game. He's probably going to strap it up and play. But if he's got a broken hand or something, that's not good for a DB. And he's the guy that usually covers tight ends.
Yeah.
They got problems.
Well.
I mean, That's why I think going into this game, if they are as shorthanded as they appear now, or even somewhat shorthanded with all the people they may not have at their disposal or available, they're going to be blitzing the snot out of Josh. Because what else can they do? They don't have another choice.
Yeah, let's review. The last game, they didn't blitz him at all. He carved him up.
Right.
Because his ability, even if they got some pressure with four, which they didn't really rush him. Remember, they were kind of keeping him still right there.
It's almost like they were spying him, rushing him.
Four-man rush, straight run, no games, no nothing. They didn't open up any passing lanes at all, no running lanes for Josh at all. He had to make it himself, and he did. Particularly late in the game. I don't think they'll do the same thing. I'd like to go back and look, and I haven't gone back and looked because it was an afterthought. What they did in game one this season when the Bills had 10 points on the game. That would be more telling, I think, about what's going to happen in this game than anything they did in game two. Hmm. Now, they got some help, obviously, from the wind, and you couldn't throw it, and they'd because of the wind, you got a drop touchdown pass. We've had three touchdown drop passes against the Patriots this season, and one that was called back for a guy that was a yard too far down the field, an offensive lineman.
I know
four touchdowns that did not get called or didn't go the Bills' way, gone.
I don't know if you saw this. We were talking about this on the show yesterday. We know that Mac Jones, born and raised in Jacksonville, Florida, played his college ball at Alabama and in the SEC. And people were wondering, what is the coldest game that Mac Jones has played in? He has played in exactly one game where the starting game time temperature was below freezing. That was here in week 13.
Okay.
when he threw three passes.
Did he actually play
in
that game?
The only game he has played in where the game time temperature at kickoff was below freezing.
The way that game came down, you could have had a crash test dummy playing quarterback for them. That's all they needed.
Yeah. Or a turnstile. That could turn and hand a ball off, right?
Yeah, nothing.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he's affected by the weather, if at all. Maybe he'll handle it perfectly. Who knows? So that is going to be an interesting development there. Other stuff with regard to the news and notes around the league, we know that a couple of other Patriots players in the trenches are a little nicked up as well. We mentioned this yesterday. Patriots defensive tackle Christian Barmore, what was termed a minor knee injury in last week's game. He popped up on the Patriots injury report. I believe he was limited in practice yesterday. Isaiah Wynn, their left tackle, has a hip and sustained an ankle injury on top of the hip injury that he already came into the Miami game with last week, added an ankle injury to that. He was limited in practice yesterday as well. Players to keep an eye on for the Patriots in the trenches there. They don't have their left tackle. Could only help the pass rush all the more. We know what happened last week when the Jets were down to their third left tackle. The Patriots would be down to their second left tackle, and that could be a boon for Buffalo's pass rush. We'll have
I bet all those guys play.
I mean, it's a playoff game. If you can drag yourself out there, you're playing, right?
Yes. Then you take the needle and you go out and play. That's all there is to it. And I fully expect all of them to do that if they need that. So they're going to feel like they're going to be hitting on all cylinders. You're going to have to play well in all phases to beat a team like the Patriots with a top defense in the league, a running game that's really good. I think this game comes down to you have to win the turnover battle or at least break even on the turnover battle for the Bills. And if they can do that, they're going to be all right, depending on what the weather is and all of that. I think it comes down to the turnovers and the mistakes that you make. I don't think there's any – I think the Bills are a more talented team, and they're playing at a high enough level now that even if the Patriots play mistake-free, the Bills are going to be right there with them. So I think the mistakes are going to be accentuated in this game, and I think if you hang on to the football and don't throw it to the wrong team, you're going to be fine.
Couple of other notes to pass along before we get to your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, where we're asking you what needs to happen for the Bills to get a win over the Patriots on Saturday. The Bears have requested an interview with the Bills' assistant GM Joe Shane for their vacant general manager opening. They're also reportedly interested in interviewing Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier for their vacant head coaching job. And they're not the only team that could potentially be interested in a Bills GM head coach package deal. The Giants are interviewing Joe Shane today for their vacant GM job, and there is speculation out there that Brian Daboll could soon follow in the wake of the Joe Judge firing late yesterday afternoon. Joe Judge was in a little bit of limbo, was not a victim on Black Monday, but was fired a day later on Tuesday this week, late in the afternoon. So that is now we've got seven head coaching vacancies across the league. Another opening that could very well see Brian Daboll and or Leslie Frazier as a prime candidate to fill. So we'll have to just keep our eye on that, see where it goes, see when interviews take place, knowing they couldn't this week with the wild card game coming up. But let's go to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Open line for you there. We lead off with Cameron and Clarence. What do you got for us, Cam? Cameron, are you there?
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
Good.
Good. I just want to start off by saying I mentally need us to win this game, because if I hear the media, Boston fans talking about how Bill Belichick still owns us, I'm going to lose it. So as for a fan base, I think I speak for everyone. We need to win this game because I'm just sick of that whole talk. And I do want to ask a question. As far as what the Patriots defense needs to do differently for this game to contain Josh, what do you think they have to do as far as just to contain him running and passing?
Yeah, I already said it. I think because they are shorthanded on the back end, they don't have enough DBs to effectively cover what Buffalo can put out on the field in terms of receiving talent. And so I think they're going to be more aggressive in coming after Josh. I don't think it's going to be a reckless, all-out blitz type approach, but I think they're certainly going to be mixing in a healthy dose of blitzes, especially if it gets anywhere near third and medium or more. That's when Belichick historically gets exotic with the various looks that they throw at him. And I think they're going to blitz him in the hopes that he makes a hurried throw and makes a mistake. I think that's what they're going to be looking to do, especially knowing their DB shortage in terms of player availability, at least as it stands right now.
I think along the same lines, I think they're going to do everything they can to make it hard on Josh, either by blitzing or by jumping routes when they have a blitz on, or showing him something he thinks he knows what he's looking at and he doesn't. They'll play man, they'll play zone. They're going to do everything possible to confuse him and make sure he doesn't know exactly what he's looking at. I think they're going to be very exotic and very multiple in what they try and do against him. I think it's going to be they're going to try and beat him between his ears rather than physically, because I don't think they can hold up to him physically.
The interesting thing with that is how multiple can they be,
right,
if their DBs are wet behind the ears, undrafted rookies and guys like that. You know, you think about how in sync Buffalo's secondary is because they've played together for the better part of 4 years. Now you got guys like Devontae Bosby and D'Angelo Ross,
right,
that the Patriots may have to throw out there on the field.
I think those guys, I think that the way they run their show over there is that those guys are out there, they're going to be ready. And they've had time a couple of weeks now to get under their belt. They've got enough on the menu defensively to run that game, any game plan they want, as multiple as you can make it. Because it will be more about them fooling Josh than it will be holding up in coverage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I agree with you, Cam. Bills have to win this game to officially change the narrative. The Bills swept them last year. Patriots fans and just about everybody anywhere within the confines of the New England states believes it was a one-off, believes it was an anomaly, believes that the Patriots just took a year off because they had Cam and opt-outs and all of that. But now they think they're completely back. They think they have a better rookie quarterback now than the one they previously had in Tom Brady as a first-year starter, even though he was in his second year. and they think it's all peaches and cream again now for their team, and they're just going to, you know, soar to the Super Bowl once again. And this is where you change the narrative. You beat them 2 out of 3. You send them packing home. You end their playoff run early and show them, hey, ain't your division anymore, and you're not the top dog in the division anymore either as far as playoff success. So go enjoy your time. Go fly to some warm weather destination. Hop on the golf course. We'll see you in September. Yeah, that's what has to happen.
That's what Bills fans are looking for. They you know, this is a big one. And like you said, Cameron, there's a lot of scar tissue in the Bills fan base about the Patriots in particular. And to have them in the playoffs where it's a one and done, you're going to be able to talk, have bragging rights for the next 8 months.
Yeah.
That's big. Particularly with, you know, you lose to a team like this with a rookie quarterback and you've got this guy who's in the MVP conversation, you just can't do it. We'll see. Now, the big wrench in the works of this is, you know, the weather. Can the Bills run their offense? We'll see. Even if, you know, and can the Bills put this game in the hands of that rookie quarterback? There's a lot going on in this game. But, yeah, there's a lot of baggage on this game from Bills' perspective and their fan base. They need to put this one to bed. This will nag them for months if they don't.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Bob on a cell. Bob, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
I got two questions for Steve. Steve, are we ever going to see Christian Way play NFL football? And his second question is, you want to keep your feet warm on Saturday? Take Degree Underarm and put it on the bottom of your feet and put your socks on. Your feet won't sweat. Have a good day.
There you
All
go.
Right, look at that.
Antiperspirant.
There's one to grow on.
Yeah, antiperspirant, yeah, is a thing. I don't think we will see Christian Wade. Not this year. He's not going to step on the field ahead of Zach Moss. He's not going to step on the field ahead of Devin Singletary, and he's not going to get in the field ahead of Tywan Jones either. There's just no room for him, and that's kind of what a player in his position is going to be up against on any team you go to. Unless there is a rash of injuries, you're not going to see him. Ask Antonio Williams, same thing. He's been up and down off the practice squad, so –
Right, and Christian Wade, back in August, suffered a season-ending shoulder injury. So he went on practice squad, injured reserve. So he's not even in a position to challenge to get on the field. So it's unfortunately not going to happen for him this season in any capacity. We go back to the phones and to Tom on the west side. What do we got for us, Tom?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Steve, first of all, I'm wondering if Devin Hester gets in on the first ballot. Is that going to make you more eligible as a special teamer to get into the Hall of Fame?
It's too late for me, Tom. I appreciate it. It's too late for me.
Why? You're out now? You're not eligible?
He's no longer a modern era candidate. He could be nominated by the Veterans Committee. As you know, the Veterans Committee nominates players that are not from the modern era for induction. So Steve still has a route to get there that way. Yeah, it's an interesting question, Tom, that you pose.
Besides that, I want to talk about the offensive line and the run game.
Sure, go ahead.
I've been calling for two tight ends, and they haven't given us the two tight ends. They're throwing an extra lineman in there.
Yeah.
And now they're starting to pull them. We haven't had pulling guards or anybody pulling lately, and I think that's what makes the difference in the run game.
Let me say this, Tom, and thanks for the call. I think the sixth offensive lineman, which most recently has been Tommy Doyle, for the most part has been effective. It was effective against the Jets last week. The week prior against Atlanta, it had a little bit more mixed success. But I think they believe they have something there. That's number one. And to prove it, the reason you didn't see two true tight ends on the field last week is because Tommy Sweeney was inactive. They only had one tight end on the active roster. It was Dawson Knox. So if you wanted to go 12 personnel with two tight ends, quote unquote, you had to use the sixth offensive lineman. You had no other choice. And I thought they were pretty creative with that too, Steve, because I know you talked about it with Eric Wood on Monday, how they put Tommy's Dawson Knox
at the tight end
tackle position,
at the tight end position,
or at the tight end position, and then Tommy Doyle at the wing position.
Yeah, outside of him.
Yeah,
that's really interesting.
Which was creative because it kind of messes up how you defend all that.
Right, because if you're a defensive coordinator and you got a tight end that can really run out and go get passes like Dawson Knox can, and you got an offensive lineman out there, you're going to say, okay, the offensive lineman we can match up with just about anybody on our defense. We don't care. So if they get out in this and the spot, we'll do this. Well, if you switch the spots, all of a sudden you got the offensive lineman at a spot where you've got your better defender. And the bad defender is on your better pass catcher. It's really interesting.
Clever.
It's a really interesting idea to do that. And it's, you know, you got to get ready for that if you're the Patriots and anybody else. It's really interesting, and Brian Daboll showing some creativity. And you know, like you say, there's never just a one-off up there where you're going to try that and throw it out there and have them stop and do something else. You're going to have a menu of plays, short or long, out of that set.
And I would respectively say you have not had guards pulling to a great degree, because that's not what Darrell Williams does exceptionally well. You're more likely to have one of the two tackles and Mitch Morse pull, because those are three of your three most mobile linemen. I haven't seen enough of Ryan Bates to, you know, decide whether he is of that variety either. But more often than not, when you have linemen pulling, it's Deion Dawkins, it's Mitch Morse, and it's Spencer Brown. The guards, more often than not, have been more of the drive-blocking ilk here in Buffalo, and I don't think that has changed for the most part. We go to Shane in Raleigh next. What do you got for us, Shane? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, Brownie and Tasker. Hope you guys are doing good today.
Thanks.
So just wanted to make a point about last year's AFC Championship game that I hope the team learns from. Last year, I noticed that McDermott, he was a little bit too conservative. He went for all field goals when it was 4th and 3 at the 40, 4th and goal at the 10, and then with 3:19 left in the game, he went for another field goal when it was 4th and 28. I just hope that you know, he learns from that going into the playoffs, and that he has a little bit more of a aggressive attitude, which I've noticed that he has had these last few weeks. So, you know, I just hope that they can keep that going. And then just another point, I know they've been kind of bouncing back between Marquez Stevenson and Isaiah McKenzie. In my opinion, I think McKenzie just gives them a little bit more juice at both the punt and the kick return game. So that's my thoughts on that. And just on a side note, my wife, she's a Patriots fan, so it's going to be a house divided on Saturday night, but she's been a good sport about it all, and we're both looking forward to the game. Hope you guys enjoy the game, and go Bills.
All right. Thanks, Shane. Good call, and good luck in your neutral corners on Saturday night. house divided. We've heard of those before. Yes, Sean McDermott has been more aggressive on fourth downs this year. I believe I saw the number. Don't quote me on it, but I believe the Bills are almost a 10% increase in going for it on fourth down from last year alone. And here's another thing, Steve, because I looked this up last year. Andy Reid, obviously Sean McDermott's mentor in the coaching profession, was one of the more aggressive fourth down offensive play callers in the league in the regular season. It was somewhere around 40-something percent last year. In the playoffs, he goes for it on fourth down 60% of the time. He gets more aggressive in the playoffs, not less so.
Yeah, I think when you get into the playoffs, and generally speaking, you've got to know that you can trust your players more than you can in the first month of the regular season. Over the course of a long season and during the playoffs and a stretch run down to get into the playoffs, they prove to head coaches, and I think head coaches come to know, they got some guys. They know who they can depend on. And when you can put the ball in their hands, trust them. And I think more head coaches are willing to do it, plus the fact that there ain't no going back. You know, there's no tomorrow. You got to win today, so you may as well go down swinging. And I think a lot of coaches are learning a couple of things. One, you get second-guessed a lot less when you go for it. I mean, and we look at that last regular season game of the entire season, the Raiders versus the Chargers in Las Vegas. Joe Burrow and the Chargers get back in that game by going for it and going 5 for 5 on fourth down in the last three drives of that game to get it to overtime. That emboldens a lot of coaches, and the way coaches are treated and the way they're thought of and the way their players think about them, the way the media handles them, and ownership as well. It's hard to criticize somebody for going for it. Even in the loss, Brandon Staley got crucified for taking a timeout, not going for it on 4th and 3 on his own 18 and not getting it. Yeah. Because they still got the game to overtime. So there's a lot of things in the current, I guess, in this economy, there's a lot of things pointing to the fact that you should go for it on 4th down.
Yeah.
A lot more often. And in these playoffs, if you're anywhere out on across midfield, absolutely, I think, no matter what the 4th down is.
Yeah. We have to take a break here. More of your phone calls coming up, so be sure to hang on the line. If you're waiting at 803-0550, we will get to you as we are discussing with you today what needs to happen for the Bills to get a win over the Patriots. Back with more of your phone calls next. Hour number two today, Ross Tucker, who will be calling the game on Westwood One Radio, on the National Radio Network. For Saturday night's game, we'll catch up with Ross, a former Bills offensive lineman, to boot. We'll catch up with him in the second hour. But more of your phone calls coming next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. We got Ross Tucker coming up in the second hour of the program. Be sure to stay tuned for that, as he'll be doing the game on Westwood One with John Sadak, and Steve Tasker will be down on the sidelines. So if you're out of town and you don't have access to the Bills radio network, you can catch Steve on Westwood One, the national radio broadcast, which happens for all playoff games. But let's get back to the phones, where we've got some people waiting patiently. And leading us off here is Dennis in Lewiston. What do you have for us, Dennis? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Good.
All right. First off, you know, I'm a lifetime Bills fan, longtime listener of the show. And, Steve, in my heart, you are a Hall of Famer, and you'll always be. And I have your jersey. So
awesome. There you go.
All right. Thanks.
Well, getting to the question, I think the Bills really started running the ball really well, minus Josh Allen running the ball all the time. Motor has kicked his motor going, and he's doing good. And I think we need to continue doing the same thing. Just keep running the ball, keep running the ball, keep the pressure off of Josh. Don't have him run all the time. Let Motor go, and I think we're going to be okay. Defense, we got the number one defense in the league. So, you know, the one thing that does scare me is that the whole Belichick factor, you know. But he is coming back to Buffalo for our home game. And I think we should just stay the course, man. Keep playing bad, you know, really good defense, badass defense. Sorry for the language, but you know, I think we're going to be okay. I really do. I think this is going to be the year. You know, I had the privilege to watch Mr. Tasker in the 4 straight Super Bowls. You know, I'm 43 years old. So, you know, I was a kid watching the glory years, and now we're back to the glory years. Let's achieve what we need to achieve. Let's get to the bowl. I don't care who we're playing, but we can do it. We have a better squad than I think than anybody in the AFC.
It certainly.
And let's just get to the bowl, man.
Yep. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate the call. I said it on the show yesterday. I think this is a more well-rounded team than the one that entered the playoffs last year. The defense was kind of a middle-of-the-pack group last year. It was a down year for the defense last year, and I don't think that helped. And this year, you've got a defense that is playing absolutely lights out. I mean, they are number one across the board, and their pass rush is peaking right now to go with their stellar play on the back end. So even if the Bills' offense cannot get off to a hot start on Saturday night, I'm not worried because that defense is going to hold you in games.
Right. That's the difference between this year's team and last year's. And plus, when you add in a running game that has emerged over the last month, you got to feel really good about where you're at. There's no question the team sits right where they wanted to be sitting outside of being the one seed coming into the playoffs. Their running game's clicking. They're healthy. They got nobody on the COVID list or nobody of consequence on the COVID list they're going to have to depend on. They are right where they want to be. And so the only thing left for them to do is go out and execute a game plan in their home stadium. So as good as they have played, you know, let's pump the brakes on saying they're going to sweep through all of this stuff because they're playing the New England Patriots, and the Patriots have a really right. good defense as well. And they have a really good ability to execute a game plan better than probably any team in the league week to week. So you still got to play well on game day. Like I've always said, you can be better than the other team, but you got to play like it on game day. And that's what's left to be done for the Buffalo Bills. And the Patriots have no reason to come in here thinking they can't get this done either. So you're playing against teams that are really confident at this time of year, and the Bills are just one of them. So I think it's going to be a fantastic run, but you got to play well on game day to advance in these playoffs.
We go back to the phones, and we go to Dan in Rochester next. What do you got for us, Dan?
Hey, Chris. I feel like you did it. After I heard we were playing New England, I felt like puking all week. I can't stand any of their teams.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you.
They're entitled to New England. They're all the sports teams, I think they're spoiled.
They are.
And I think we should be physical with them. Knock them on their you-know-what and just knock them down. Beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of hearing about New England.
Yeah, we all are, Dan, and thanks for the call. And I think you bring up a good point as well, because if you look at the last two meetings between these two teams, the more physical team won the game.
Yeah.
The first game, windy conditions. Granted, it impacted how things went. But that Patriots offensive line took it to Buffalo's defense and said, hey, we're going to run the ball the whole game. Try
right.
to stop it.
Right.
And they couldn't because they didn't match the physical intensity
That's right.
of that New England offensive line. You fast forward to week 16, Josh Allen walks into the locker room and says, I woke up with violence on my mind.
Right.
That jacked everybody up. You saw the difference
right.
in intensity on that field, and the Patriots flat out did not match it in week 16, and it was a huge decider. It was a huge factor in the game. That has to come back again on Saturday night. You have to be the more physical team.
Yes, that's true. We talk about it off and on throughout. I tell you, you know, every team needs an edge. And you mentioned, too, in the post game after the Raiders-Chargers game, how Rodney Harrison said, you know, the L.A. Chargers were soft mentally. They just weren't soft mentally. You got to have an edge and be like stepping into a fight in these games. You got to be really willing to compete angry, disciplined but angry. You got to just not back up. You can't give them anything, and that's what the way the attitude of these guys all is in these games. You've got to be willing every game to scuffle if you need to. And the team that is more willing and to play like that and get ready for that is the team that's going to have an edge throughout the game.
Yeah, and you know that it's going to be ratcheted up. The intensity for the playoffs, the speed at which everybody plays is taken up a notch. The physicality has to come with it. And I think that's a lesson that this Bills team has learned over the last 4 or 5 weeks of this season. You remember back in the middle of the season, Steve, Coach McDermott was very frank about this. We have to play more physical at the line of scrimmage. He demanded it from his offense and his defense.
Right.
You know, they got run over by the Colts. His comments after the game, we got to play more physical.
Right.
We didn't match the physical intensity of our opponent today, and we got flat out beat. He demanded they play more physical. Over these last 5 weeks, they have, and shocking, they've won 4 in a row That's not the only reason they've won four in a row, but it's a big reason.
Right. And they got to continue that. If you show up and don't play like that in the playoffs, you're giving away something to your team, to your opponent. And it shows. It shows. Now, you know, all these teams are going to be very talented, and all of them are going to be, you know, executing at a high level and have some great players on their squads. But it's got to be the collective attitude of your team has got to be something that the other team is forced to match, or they're going to fold.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break here. Mike in Tonawanda, Tom in Fairport, hang tight. We'll get to you after the break. Step aside here. More of your phone calls next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Bills fans, you could win a night in paradise, also known as the Colton RV Camper Lot, brought to you by Corona Hard Seltzer. One winner will win a night in a Bills Mafia motorhome, courtesy of Colton RV, plus four tickets to the wild card game Saturday night. You'll get to tailgate all day on Saturday, thanks to Corona Hard Seltzer in the Colton RV Camper Lot, and then post-game spend the night in a decked-out Bills Mafia motorhome. Plus, Wegmans will hook you up with all the tailgate food you can need to enter. Visit BuffaloBills.com/camperlot, all one word, and tell us why you should win a night in paradise. Good luck. That is a decked out RV, man. Thing nice. Looks sweet.
Yeah. At this time of year, like in the early in the season, you don't need any of that, right? You can go out, pop the grill up, you don't need, but in mm-hmm. this time, you need some place to duck into to get warm again and then come back out. Or you need an open flame, you know, a firebox or
right.
something.
We saw reports that Bills assistant general manager Joe Shane was interviewing with the New York Giants for their vacant GM job today. The Giants have just announced in the last hour that interview with Joe Shane is complete. So Joe Shane's interview with the Giants has taken place today. It is over and done with, and we'll see where they go from here. I'm sure they'll be interviewing some other candidates. Joe Shane, a name that has also come up in Chicago for their vacant general manager's position. We go back to the phones, though, and Tom in Fairport's been waiting the longest here. What do you have for us, Tom?
Good afternoon. How you doing, Chris?
Good.
Good. Couple points, and then I'll hang up and listen to what you say. Couple callers have already mentioned this. Offense and defensive line, we just got to be out physically. We got to just destroy them. Go out and just punch them in the face. Now, they want to blitz us. You were talking about them loading up and trying to shake Josh up. We go three or four wide. What I've seen in the past few weeks is Josh using the check down a lot.
Yep.
And I think with, like you said, their linebacker's slow. Singletary's been a motor for us right now. Check it down and let him get what he gets. Take what they give us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just that's what I think. And, you know, go Bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
I think,
Tom.
I think you're right. I think in this in the way this game shakes out, I think it's going to come down to the Patriots kind of keeping everything in front of them and forcing Josh Allen not to be Superman and checking down to Devin Singletary and checking down to Isaiah McKenzie or Cole Beasley or whatever, taking his short passes. If you think back to the second game between them in Foxborough, that's what he did early. I mean, Devin Singletary had, I think, five of the first six plays. They were two or three check downs and then one called route. And the other play went to Steph Diggs, who dropped it on the sideline right at the beginning of the game. It was all Devin Singletary. Run here, a quick pass there, a check down there, and another run. Those were the first five plays of the game, and the Bills went off. And not a single drive in the entire game, except for the end of the halves, didn't get inside the 20 of the Patriots. They moved the football down the field like nothing. At the end of the half, they ran the clock out. And at the end of the game, they knelt down. Other than that, the only time the Patriots stopped the Bills from scoring was on the 4th-and-1 on the 1-yard line of the Patriots that Emmanuel Sanders dropped a touchdown. that's what you got to think about, and that's what you got to think about the Patriots thinking about. How are they going to do it differently? Because the Bills, they couldn't stop them the last time. And it started with just a couple of dinks and dunks.
It was the fastest I've ever seen Josh go to the check down in a game ever, because Josh would often fall victim to, yeah, I know the check down's there, but let me wait an extra half second, see if something, a bigger play opens up downfield. And then by the time he looks back to the check down, it's closed, it's not available, and now he's got to run around and hope he can make something happen without losing yardage. In that game, he, as soon as the check down was there, bang, he went to it. And as you pointed out, it helped them move the ball, stay on schedule, and they were finishing drives with points. And what that did was it allowed the Bills to get up on the scoreboard early. And even though New England ran the ball well in the game, they averaged 5.5 yards a carry, that wasn't a sustainable approach because they were too far behind on the scoreboard. Now you got to put it on Mac Jones, and that's when they had problems.
You got
14 into, of 32.
You got
for
into
145
the second half, and
you
started to have to catch count possessions. That's when they got it within six. And then okay, here we go. And then they got it to within – then the Bills scored again and put it back to 13 or 12 or whatever it was. And then they had to score again. And that's when Josh just answered it and went down and scored again, put it up 33-22 or something like that. And the Patriots – it was too late.
Yeah.
It was too late. They couldn't keep up. They were down double digits, and all of a sudden they ran out of possessions at the end of the game. So you can say what you want about – that doing that, it took them all the way to the end of the game to get there, but they did have a comfortable lead up to that point. And you throw in a couple of drop touchdowns, and Patriot fans will tell you they had a bunch of drops in that game too, particularly the pick six on that last drive.
J.C. Jackson, yeah.
My contention is before Josh put the cape on, they were dropping touchdown passes in the first half, that game would have gotten – that would have been a laugher. And I said it after the game. This was a half-step from a beatdown in Foxborough, and that was before Josh ever put on the cape.
Yeah.
So they're going to come in with a completely different game plan than they had that game because it was just too easy for Josh and this offense to take that check down and be content and move the football, move the football, move the football, and then you get down to the red zone. It's like, okay, let's see if you can keep us out.
Yeah. One more call here before the break. We go to Mike on a cell. What do you have for us, Mike? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah, I think that the defense played outstanding against them last time. They had the first quarter, they had them stopped with the run, except for the one long one. I mean, if they can play that way for the rest of the game, for this game coming up, there's no way the Patriots score.
Yeah, the problem the Patriots have, and Mike, thanks for the call. The problem the Patriots have is the way they are built offensively is to run the football and mix in some play action with Mac Jones. They put the bulk of the responsibility on their run game. Well, that's all well and good if you can get on ahead on the scoreboard early. But as soon as you fall behind by 10 points or more, it becomes supremely difficult with that approach to climb back into the game effectively. And that's what happened in the last meeting. Bills are up 17-7 at the half. You can't run it all day anymore. You got to have Mac Jones do more for you, and that's when he gets into trouble. I mean, it happened again in Miami last week. Throws a pick, no touchdowns. They were behind, and they had to rely on him to climb back into the game, and they flat out couldn't do it.
Yeah, they're not built for it. They want to run the ball and play defense. And we've seen it. I mean, they'll come out. This is a you know, winner-take-all game. So they may be in a position here where for the first time this season or one of the things, they're going to say, okay, you've come this far, Mac. Now we're going to ask you to do some things in this game we want you to try, and we're going to support you as best we can. And they'll come out and they'll do some things we haven't seen them do before. Like maybe they come out throwing it and slinging around in the first half or whatever. But they know they've got to do something either to keep pace with Bills offensively or run the ball well enough and play defense well enough to get them off the field.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them to ask to do things offensively they haven't done all year, like lean on Mac Jones and try it.
Think they're going to change their spots in the postseason. Okay.
But I think they may do some of that. I mean, they're going to lean on it, but they're going to do enough to keep the Bills on their heels defensively because they got to.
Yeah, they've got to. All right, we got to take a break here because coming up next, the guy that's going to be calling the game on national radio on Westwood One with John Sadak, it is Ross Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman. We'll catch up with him next to dice up Bills Patriots here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Tasker, who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual-role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy.
All right, here we go. Hour number two. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live is the show. And joining the show now is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. How we doing, Mr. Westwood One Radio?
You know what? We are doing awesome. I'm excited. I'm coming home. I will be up there Saturday for the game. Can't wait. You know, I just, it's funny. You guys know, we've talked about it before. I have a great affinity of the five teams I played for. My favorite team was Buffalo for a bunch of different reasons. But I love being able to go to these playoff games. The Ravens won last year, this one Saturday night, because we didn't get there when I was a player. You know, we got very close. There's a part of me that's a little jealous because I would have loved to have been a part of, you know, playing a home playoff game in front of those folks up there in Western New York, but I'm living vicariously through this year's team and the great run these guys have been on the last couple of years.
It's still a little bit of a first because last year when they played those two playoff games, there's only 6,500 people in the stands and you know, it's not the same. And now there's a lot of fans here in Western New York. This is the first time in decades that they've had a chance to do this. A lot of fun, and you're right. The weather notwithstanding, this is going to be a special day for not just former players like you who kind of are happy for the fans, happy for the team, but also the fans who've been waiting on it a long time.
Yeah, it's funny, Steve. I can't remember how much. If you say it's 6,500, I believe you. I tweeted last year in the divisional round, you know, being there for that Ravens game. That was the loudest 6,500 people in the history of the world. I mean, when who was it? Johnson? Was it Johnson that had the pick six?
Yeah, Taron Johnson.
I mean, that place went – that's the loudest 6,500 people ever. That place went crazy. It's a terrific point, Steve, I hadn't thought about that, you know, what is it, 55,000 people that are going to be there, 60,000? Most of them have probably never seen a home playoff game, a lot of them. That is awesome. Can't wait to be up there. Can't wait to be working with you on the side, with you being on the broadcast on the sideline. I got to tell you though, Steve, I am so glad that you're on the sideline and I'm in the booth. I'm sorry, dude.
I was waiting to see how long you've done baseball
for the listeners. When you're a sideline reporter, the only thing you care about is the weather. And I'll be on the sideline, by the way, Monday night for the Cardinals at the Rams in L.A. with the dome. I think I'll be
I was going to say, you know what I'm going to get, because you've done this sideline thing too, and it's no joke. I mean, you're there walking around. You can walk around and stuff, but it's like 5 hours, 6 hours of, you know, relentless weather. And it's,
yeah, and not only that, so a couple things. Standing up that long, yeah, I just get stiff. You know, I had the back surgery from Dr. Cappuccino when I was up there in Buffalo. So standing is like the worst thing for me. So I don't like that. The other thing is, I don't know about you guys. I don't know what the heck's going on. With every year I get older, I swear I get like 5 degrees colder. When I played in Buffalo, I was like between 310 and 318 maybe. I don't care how cold it was. Pre-game warm-ups, shorts and a T-shirt. No problem. Yeah, I was big and I was young. I guess I had the blood flowing. Now I'm 42. I'm telling you guys, I'm a wimp. I get freezing. Like, I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah. Well,
so you're right. I mean, I'm right there, and I'm like 15, 16 years ahead of you too. So
I don't know who you know, Ross, that you get to draw the L.A. sideline card. Yeah, I mean, you know somebody in a high place to get that draw. That's pretty good.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the only stadium in the NFL I haven't been to. So I'm looking forward to that. I will say this, though, and I'm curious what you guys have been talking about this week and what some of the fans up there think. I got to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of divisional matchups in the wild card round. Both the games I'll be a part of, Bills, Patriots, Cardinals, Rams, are exactly that. Look, there's nothing you can do about it, right? The seeding is the seeding. But I don't know. I'd like to see the Bills kind of play somebody else. I'd like to see the Patriots play somebody else as opposed to the third time in 7 weeks. I just think it's a little bit awkward. It is what it is. Obviously, you got to go out there and win, and you might have to beat them anyway at some point, even if you didn't play in the wild card round. But if I was czar, somehow I would try to make it so that couldn't happen.
Right. Yeah, like a restriction or something. Yeah, I hear you. The ironic thing is this is the first time in the Super Bowl era the Bills and Patriots are meeting in the playoffs. They've just never been good at the same time until now. So it's pretty wacky. The only other time they met in the playoffs was in the AFL days in 1963. In an AFL Eastern Division playoff. It's nuts to think that we've gone 58 years and these two teams have never squared off before.
Yeah, I'm curious, what has been the reaction, like the reaction of the fan base about playing New England? Are they like, awesome, let's beat them again? Or is there a little bit like, we just beat them in the last one when we had to, we won the division, can we play somebody else? I mean, already that play is going to be bananas Saturday night. But I think being the Patriots just ratchets up even more.
Yeah, no question about it. There's a lot of angst with the Patriots always. There's still a generation of people who view them as the ultimate evil. But also, I think most of the angst comes from if it was 75 and sunny and no wind, the people would feel a little bit more confident about the Bills' ability to run their offense normally. When you get into the cold, and you know this, Ross, the cold isn't really as much of a factor as the wind and the rain is. If it's windy, that's a problem for the Bills. And if it's raining, it's obviously a problem. I think the Patriots are built better for conditions like this than the Bills are at the current moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, they run the ball better, certainly, although the Bills have been running the ball a little bit better more recently. I'll say this. I remember this distinctly from playing in Buffalo. I think in 2004, I started 4 games at center. When Trey Teague went down, the colder it is, the harder the ball gets. And, like, the bigger the ball feels. I can remember I'd have to go over and, like, that ankle spray stuff that they spray on your ankles before they tape your ankles. I would act like I was spraying my ankle and, like, get some of that on my hand just so I had a little bit of a better grip because the ball would get so hard. It would, like, balloon up. Which, by the way, makes sense if you're in a cold environment to maybe take a little bit of air out of it. Somebody might have done that at some point. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder who that could be.
wow.
So, Ross, let me ask you this, because Steve and I were knocking this around yesterday. You know, quarterbacks, a lot of old school quarterbacks, would often lick their hand to get a little bit better grip. But when it's 0 degrees, I'm wondering, are we going into like the triple dog dare, tongue on the pole situation there with a football if you're licking your hand and it – I don't know if it's going to give you anything when it's that cold. So they may have to go looking for some spray or tenactin or something to spray on their hand. I don't know what else you do to maintain your grip so you can spin the football.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can still lick your hand. I do. I think that you'll get enough moisture for a little bit. I think you can put the spray stuff on. You know, some guys, the colder it gets, they go with the gloves because the gloves – are naturally tackified. I don't think people don't realize that, but there's some natural tackification. Is that even a word? I don't know. The gloves are naturally tackified. So I used to love it. I mean, I used to like, it gave you a little bit of a grip there. Yeah. I didn't like it if I was playing center though, because I wanted to be able to feel the ball. And I don't know about you, Steve. I used to try to get the smallest gloves I possibly could on my hand. Like it'd be like, I almost had to have the trainer, like, my gloves looked like they were, like, you know, glued on, because I didn't want there to be any extra material. I just wanted to be able to feel things, you know, the defender, the ball, whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe Mac Jones or Allen. I will say this. Josh has a lot more experience in this kind of weather than Mac Jones does, being a Florida kid who went to Alabama. This will be the coldest game he's ever played in. The last time he played in a windy game, they had him throw the ball three times. He hasn't really been playing as well as of late. And I also think, you know, with the ball being harder, all that stuff, it's just a little bit different for Mac Jones. And that should be an edge for the Bills, just the familiarity. And I don't know this. I have to look it up. But I'm sure Josh has bigger hands than Mac Jones as well.
Yeah, I said this yesterday. It really helped the home team. Now, Patriots can do this in New England because it's not that much different weather than Buffalo. But if you get like teams like L.A. or like Miami, New Orleans, who come into Buffalo on a day like it's going to be on Saturday, the fact that you can practice in it and get your gear kind of wired and like kind of dialed in as to what you want to do on game day, like, you know, get the right base layers, trim your T-shirts the right way, trim your base layer on your legs the right way, get all that stuff lined out so you know, like, I got a plan. Then you can kind of set it aside and think about what the game's going to do. And I remember back in the day, and there's been a list of cold games that have been here in Buffalo, other teams would come in and they make a big deal. It's a big distraction for them because they don't really know what they want to wear on game day and how they're going to wear. And I made the thing yesterday. For the coldest game in Bills history, our offensive lineman went out sleeveless. The Raiders guys see our guys in sleeveless without sleeves in warm-up, and they think, okay, if those guys know, you can go sleeveless in a cold day. Then our guys went back in for right before the pregame and put the sleeves on, right? So there's some gamesmanship there as well. So it there's a lot to it, knowing exactly the distraction of not knowing exactly how to handle it with your gear that you're going to wear for the game.
Yeah, so two thoughts. Number one, I think the Las Vegas Raiders in the game before Bills-Patriots are in for a wake-up call in Cincinnati, because I think it's supposed to be really cold in Cincinnati as well. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders, to your point, you know, they play in Las Vegas. They play indoors. They haven't played a game like that. Right. And then in terms of knowing the facility and the weather, when I played for New England, guys, after the Bills cut me, after my back surgery, terrible decision by them, by the way, but after my back surgery and the Bills cut me, I got picked up by New England, and I was floored. Do you know we practiced on the game field every day? It was middle of the year, every day, and their game field was terrible. And I remember the coaches being like, yeah, why do you think we do that? So that, A, we want the field to be terrible, and we know where it's terrible. We know what cleats to wear. We know whatever. Meanwhile, the Dolphins come up, and before the game, the guys are like, what is this? Like, oh, this is garbage. Like, they're thinking about it. They're not happy. They got to put different cleats on. That's a very real thing. By the way, the Patriots back then, their groundskeeper got so much criticism, but Belichick wouldn't let him fix it, wouldn't let him water it. It was just basically painted mud that the guy eventually quit. He resigned because of all of the criticism he would get, like in the paper and on the radio. Meanwhile, he was just doing his job. He wasn't allowed to help the field. Belichick wanted the field to be crappy.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all. Being an O-lineman, Ross, I need to break down the run games here, respectively, between these two clubs. Obviously, Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson have been a nice 1-2 punch for them. Brandon Bolden has kind of taken over the James White role, so to speak, with him being out for the year from a long time ago, earlier in the season. What would you say are their bread-and-butter run plays that just about everybody has had trouble stopping this season?
Yeah, so one of the things interesting about the Patriots, and this has been the way since I was there, watch when they have short yardage or goal line in this game, they only run one play. They only run either zone left or zone right, or quarterback sneak. But primarily, everybody knows it's coming, but you don't know which way they're doing it, and they might dress it up a little bit with the backfield action, but it's zone, like, you will not see them pull a lineman in short yardage or goal line because of the concern they have about that creating penetration. They don't believe in gap blocking or pulling a lineman on the goal line because they think it's too easy to give up penetration and have the puller get knocked off. Everything they do is zone left, zone right. That's still a big part of who they are. That was a Dante Scarnecchia thing. They've got a right guard in Shaq Mason that is really a good drive-blocking player, and they're much better when Trent Brown, the right tackle, is out there. I mean, it's been a significant difference when he's been out there versus when he hasn't. But there, you know, I don't know. Karras at left guard's just okay. And I think Isaiah Wynn got banged up in the last game. So that's something to keep an eye on as well, their left tackle.
Yeah, he's got an ankle injury. Right. Spinning it around to the Bills, though, as you mentioned earlier, their run game has certainly picked up. It looks like it's something that they can lean on if Josh is a little out of sync with his receiving core. We've seen several times this year, Ross, people ask us, how are the Bills different this year compared to last year? I would say, in my opinion, the passing game isn't quite as dominant or precise as it was last year. They'll have lulls in play in the course of a game. And these last 4 or 5 weeks, they've been able to turn to their running game, and it's carried them through those downtimes with their passing game until they can click it back into rhythm. I don't know if there's anything that stood out to you in terms of what has worked well for them in the run game play-wise, per se.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Chris, because when I watch them, it feels like they really struggle, at least until recently, if Josh isn't playing lights out. Mm-hmm. Or if Josh is struggling. And it feels like he struggled more this year than he did last year, to your point. More of the turnovers that you don't like to see, more of them not being on the same page. And that's really where I'm at right now with the Bills in the postseason. You know, whereas last year, I felt like they could still win a game or two, even if Allen didn't play at MVP caliber level. And I don't know that he did against the Ravens last year. I'm trying to remember the Colts game. I think he played well. I don't know that he was unbelievable in that game.
Yeah, their passing game struggled because you had Diggs nicked up with an oblique muscle injury, and you had Cole Beasley playing with a cracked bone in his leg. Now, they've tried to pace those two guys through the season so they're raring to go in the playoffs, and that is the case now. But you also have the emergence of Dawson Knox, and Isaiah McKenzie tooled this team the last time they played him in Week 16. And now, Ross, I don't know if you've seen this, but they're shorthanded, the Patriots, at cornerback right now. They just put Jalen Mills on the COVID reserve list yesterday. They've got another reserve corner on the COVID list. They may have to play Jawan Williams outside. That's not the best place for him. And Miles Bryant got completely undressed by Isaiah McKenzie in the last game.
Right. Mills going on the list on a Tuesday, 5 days, he can be back for Saturday?
He could.
Or no, he's out.
He could. He's got to test out, though.
Okay. Yeah. So he could. I'm just trying to do the math here. Wednesday, because that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay. That would be significant.
Yeah.
Jalen Mills would be significant one way or the other. And you're right. They didn't have Beasley for that last game, and McKenzie was awesome. It's nice to know that they can have that weapon. But again, Josh was incredible in that game. The one thing I think I'm still frustrated about, speaking of the run game, is that they didn't run Josh Allen at all in the first matchup between these two teams, at least not designed runs. Right. I'd like to think that will be a bigger part of this game plan. Look, it's the playoffs, and you know Josh is an absolute weapon with his legs, which I do think is sort of the fallback option for the Bills. If the passing game isn't clicking or firing on all cylinders, it's nice to have a 6'5", 250-pound quarterback that can roll.
I think one of the other things that makes this team different than last year's edition is the fact that their defense is number one in scoring, number one in yards given up. They're harder to move the ball on. Statistically, last year, they were middle of the road, like 16th-ranked team in the league, literally. This year, they're a couple of notches better than that, almost on every spot. And over the last four games, they've gotten 19 sacks. Their pass rush is coming alive. Now, again, granted, it was the Jets. It was the Falcons.
Panthers.
So, and the Panthers, let's not knight them just yet.
Those are still NFL teams, and you still got a lot of sacks, a lot of pressure. I think your point's well taken.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that helps this team win games when Josh isn't Superman.
Right. They've got the defense, whereas they didn't last year. It's funny, isn't it? It's like the ebb and the flow. The passing game's a little bit lower. The defense a little bit better. Now we got the run game coming a little bit. They just need three or four in a row to have everything fire, just enough to get these wins.
Yeah, I think that's too. Statistically, they're top offense. Statistically, they're a top defense. If the Bills play their best, even including the Chiefs, including the Packers, they're running up with anybody. But the problem has been the roller coaster they've been on this season. Who's going to play well today as compared to who didn't play well last week? The roller coaster is really the thing that they've got to get off of, because if they can play as well as they can play, they're the team.
Yeah, I think they're as good as anybody. I think they can beat anybody. It's hard to watch them this year and think that they would go on a four-game run.
Right.
But they can, right? Like, if they play like they played at Kansas City earlier in the year or at New England a few weeks ago, they're beating anybody.
Yeah. Right. Last thing here, Ross. This was a request by Kyle Brandt. He basically wanted you to do his impression of you. He says, don't have him do himself. Have him do my impression of Ross Tucker. So can you duplicate Kyle Brandt's impression of Ross Tucker? How does he do you, I guess?
Oh, man. So, by the way, he would deny during college, throughout college, that he even did an impression of me. But it probably goes something like... Just shut up. We're going to get a keg of Yingling, okay? And everything's going to be fine. Just get a keg of Yingling, and everything will be fine.
I got to say, when he imitates you, for some reason, his eyes get very big. And I don't know why that is, but it's just something that happens when he turns
into
Ross
Tucker. Well,
that's
funny, because that's the opposite of me. I got little squinty eyes. That's bad on his impression. See,
I know.
He's terrible.
I'll have to critique him on that. But thank you for playing along, Ross. We look forward to seeing you up here. Bring your layers, my friend. Bring your layers.
I will. I can't wait. I'm going to try to keep the thing shut, though, until right before kickoff.
I'm not surprised. I don't blame you.
There is no shame in that, Ross. Trust me.
All right. Thanks very much, Ross.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Ross.
The
guys,
time.
Absolutely.
We'll see you up here. All right. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Steve and I take a break. We're back with more here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Bills fans, remember this hot tub tailgate photo from the 90s? Well, guess what? This could be you this Saturday night. All you have to do is recreate this photo for the chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime hot tub tailgate before Saturday's wildcard game, brought to you by Molson Canadian. One winner will win a hot tub tailgate, including a heated tent, plus four tickets to the wildcard game. To enter, all you have to do is recreate this iconic photo, post it on social media with the hashtag BillsHotTub, or enter at BuffaloBills.com/hottub with two T's. Get creative, fans. You don't need a hot tub to have some fun with this one. The contest ends tomorrow morning. Get your submissions in. Good luck.
Wow. There you go. Party like it's the 90s. That that is no. That's a hard
That's
no.
That's a no for
That's
you?
That's a no for me, bro.
Oh, come on. They're going to put it in a heated tent. It's not like you get out and freeze or something. You get out. These guys are outside. I mean, there's no heated tent wrapped around them.
Nope. Neck
at least you get. At least you get out of the hot tub and there's a heated tent surrounding you. So you can towel off and
Put on six layers
and go to the game.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Think about how well your blood will be flowing.
Wow.
Coming out of the hot, that'd be awesome.
That'll be good.
We have to get to the tweet sheet here, Steve. We also have Jerry Hughes and Ed Oliver. So Ed and Jerry will come your way first as they address the media following practice today.
So West will focus on just having that eye discipline with gap integrity, going into this week.
It takes all 11 to play defense, especially against this group. They very fundamentally sound. They're going to come in here and give us their best shot, and we just got to take it and handle that, and everybody has to be in their gap. And then when they do decide to pass, I don't know how much, depending on the weather, last time they came out here, they didn't throw worth the lick. So this time when they come out here, they might switch it up and it might be a different game. But whatever they decide to do, we just got to be on it. We just got to be dialed in, locked in. Whatever they call on defense, we got to execute. And last but not least, we got to protect our reputation.
Some instances in that game, they was trying to manipulate the edge there, go twin sets with Nikhil Harry out there, single back style. And they was doing like some reverse counters on one drive. They was able to find some success, during that. I'm quite sure you guys will be well prepared for that, But more hindsight, yesterday was the fifth year anniversary of Coach McDermott being the head coach here. Question for both of y'all guys. What does Coach mean to both of you?
Oh, man, he means everything. Just the way he's changed the mentality in the building, in the organization, bringing that championship playoff caliber that we so desperately needed here. We got plenty of guys that got the talent. It's all about leadership. And when you have the right leadership, the right captain on the boat, man, it makes things a lot easier. And we can go out there, play fast, and have fun and give our fans the results that they need.
Right. I just think for me, with McDermott bringing me here and getting me here, I just can't say enough about that right there. I could have been a whole bunch of other places and would not have been in this situation. I've been in the league, going on 3 years now. And every year I've been to the playoffs. And, the culture here is just good. They say a lot of other places around the league, talking to older guys, is just not like this. So, for me, I wouldn't say save my life, but he damn sure saved my career coming to a place with a good atmosphere and me learning how to be a pro here versus somewhere else where it's not so, not so family-oriented and things like that.
Absolutely. Hey, Jerry, before I let you go, man, give us your playoff message.
My playoff message, man, we're going to do what we always do. We're coming out here, we playing fast, we playing physical, especially up front. We hear all the chirping, we hear guys talking about us and everything like that. That ain't nothing there, because we're going to strap it up, we're going to let them pass talk come Saturday.
That's right. Let's get Shaq back up in here, man.
Oh, yeah. The Ty Crane.
Crane Ski, see you. Appreciate you.
Hey.
No problem. Hey, this is for either of you guys. What are the challenges in facing the same team for a third time? It's incredibly rare.
It's going to be a very detail-oriented, disciplined game. Field position's going to be key for us. It's all about population to the ball, getting off blocks, and, trying to just come out there swinging. So I think for us, it's just going to be an old-school slobberknocker. We've seen them 2 times this year. They've seen us twice. The third time, like Ali said, it's the it's that whole trilogy, that whole Thriller in Manila type thing. It's going to be fun. The ice is going to be there. The cold's going to be – it's going to be Buffalo Bills football. So whoever going to be mentally tough, they're going to be physical, that's going to be the outcome. And so we're excited for it up front. We're ready for that challenge.
Right. I would say it's kind of like – I don't know if you ever had a brother or somebody that was close in age – y'all go outside and play one-on-one basketball, and he know everything he's going to do. You know everything they're going to do. And somebody got to win, and it's going to be physical. It's going to be, a little extra, But it's just that we know who they are. They know who we are. It's just going to be who wanted more.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Hey, guys, it's Sal here. I got a question, one for each of you. First with Ed. I think from a lot of us looking on the outside in, you're playing the best football of your career. Would you say you're playing the best football of your career right now?
I would say I'm playing some good football right now. And hopefully to continue that into the playoffs. At the end of the year, you want to be rolling. And right now, we're just rolling, man. We're just going, taking it day by day. And man, I can say that for a lot of guys on the team, just playing their best ball the most dialed in we've been all week. And I kind of alluded to that in the beginning of the year. I think, like, after the Texas game, I was like, playing good defense right now doesn't necessarily mean as much as playing good defense in the end of December, early January. So with us playing good defense right now, it's a good time to be at our best.
And, Jerry, you just said it. Ed just said the only thing he knows is playoffs. That's not the case with you. You've been here long enough. You're the longest tenured player. You were here for a lot of the years without the playoffs. What is different about it? What does it mean to you to be in this position with the urgency, and what can you implore on the young guys now that you've experienced both of this?
Yeah, you know, I can add a lot of wisdom to it, but I think a lot of guys on the team, like Ed said, you know, all they know since they came into the NFL is the playoffs. And like I told them, once we won that game on Sunday, claim the whole AFC East and all that stuff, you know, make this part of your legacy. You know, you guys are very familiar with winning. Winning is now a tradition. So let's continue that in the postseason. You know, there's no reason why we can't go back to the AFC Championship and then some. So I think a lot of these guys understand that the moment won't be too big on Saturday. We're just eager to go out there and prove that we can play football and let everyone know that we are a postseason organization.
All right, that's Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes addressing the media following practice today. Not surprised to hear both of them echo the message that Coach McDermott is probably preaching in the meetings this week. You have to be the more physical team, especially against a team that relies on running the football. So
yeah, you've got to stand up to that.
Yeah, and Jerry was pretty adamant about that. He said, let the pads do the talking.
Yeah, it was also quoted Bill Belichick today was asked in his press conference about, you know, meeting a team for the third time in a season. And he is, we just started from scratch. So they're approaching this game probably the way they do every game. Where is that team now and where are we now? And let's see what we do. And they build it from the ground up. So it's amazing what that tells you and amazing what it doesn't tell you. And
well, that's probably by design.
Yeah, exactly.
With every one of his answers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
let's go to the tweet sheet. What needs to happen for the Bills to get a win over the Patriots? Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Steve leads us off with, there is no doubt the Bills are the better team. The only team that can beat the Bills Saturday is the Bills themselves. Turnovers, penalties in crucial moments, and a lack of execution, drop passes in parentheses, are my only worries. If it becomes a field position game, punting worries me. That's, you got to expect Hawk to have a bounce back performance here, right? I mean,
well,
there is not supposed to be any wind,
right, the
Saturday night, so that should help.
If the wind's negligible, it'll be look more like a normal football game for Buffalo, and you're not going to have, you know, the wild kicking. When we were out here for last week's game against the Jets, watching those guys punt in the pregame warmups was a fiasco. You know, the ball would,
well,
it was headed up into the scoreboard end on the visitor's side, and it just got, you know, just got hammered.
We should mention they are going to be kicking the equivalent of a rock, though, Saturday night.
It's not going to be, yeah, it's not going to feel the same. That's for sure.
And it's not going to fly as far.
It's not going to fly good.
J-Mad says, have to play mistake-free. Score when given the opportunity and hopefully get up two scores. Do that, and Mac has to pass more than three times. Also hope that the refs don't try and give New England this game. That's why it's key to score on as many opportunities as they get. The good news here is Brad Allen is the head referee that's been assigned to this game. His crew is not a big penalty flag crew. I think that gives you even more license to play physical.
Yeah, it's going to come down to it's going to come down to up front. I mean, if the Patriots can, you know, they're snapping off 7-yard runs on first down, 7-yard plus runs on first down, you're in for a long night.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They played extremely well on first and second down in both matchups with the Bills, both on their offense and on their defense. If you look at those last couple of drives against the Bills' offense, they were physical up front, and the Bills were converting 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 7, time after time after time in those last two drives. Now, they did it, thanks in large part to Josh and some heroics, but that's, you know, they were really successful on 1st and 2nd down. And I think that's been the key in both of these games. When they got into that game where they didn't have to throw it, it's because they were going 3rd and 1. 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1.5, 3rd and 2, and they were converting it. They never had to throw the football in that first game because they were so successful on 1st and 2nd down.
So, as I mentioned, Brad Allen will be the referee for Saturday night's game. He's in his eighth season of being a head referee, former ACC head referee. This is his fourth postseason assignment, including three wild card playoffs and a divisional playoff. So, relatively young official, but has playoff experience. And as I said, his crews typically do not call a ton of penalties. They let them play for the most part. So we'll see where that goes. Jay Doogie says Bills run D must perform. Linebackers must maintain gap integrity. The O-line has to maintain its recent stability, both protecting Josh and making holes for the run game. Take what the Pats D gives you. Don't overthink this. Bills are the better team. Be the better team. Which goes back to what you say all the time. Be the better team. Play your best on that day. Jack says, don't make mistakes. Everybody, this is kind of a running theme here, Steve.
Yeah.
Just don't kill your, don't beat yourself.
Yeah, if you don't turn it over and play well, you're going to win. That's it.
Yeah. He also says, let Allen be Allen. And if all that happens, we may still need to battle the Zebras. Also, we will have to overcome the shenanigans the Patriots get away with. People are wary of us. It is shenanigans.
They're suspicious.
There's a history of shenanigans.
Shenanigans galore.
Cody says, Macaroni Jones and his noodle arm don't stand a chance in this weather. Bill Belafraud will be exposed. I will be posted up in front of their hotel playing the shout song all night.
Yeah, okay.
I love it. Go, Cody.
I sense a little bitterness from Cody.
Hey,
down.
If they're going to do shenanigans, we're doing shenanigans too.
Shenanigans.
You know, he's going to be standing out there like John Cusack and Say Anything, blasting the shout song through his boombox. I love it. From Misha, stay with our strength. Pass. The last meeting in Buffalo with the weather was an atrocious first half trying to run. Different story second half. Even with the win, we were much better passing. Receivers, wear those sticky gloves and let's go. And finally from T-Man, solid play with the offensive and defensive lines. Wins it all the way through. Been great to watch the last couple of weeks. Hope they can stay healthy. Those are your comments on the Tweet Sheet. Steve and I will take a break here, close things up, and let you know what you can look for right here tomorrow. That's coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Brad Allen, as we mentioned, will be the head referee for Saturday night's playoff game. And I looked it up. Steve, his crew has called the fourth fewest penalties per game on average. They average just a shade over 10 penalties per game, and they're pretty balanced on average between the home and the away team, 5.19 to 5.
Okay.
So they probably drew one of the better crews you could get. So hopefully they don't play a role in the outcome in a way that nobody would want to see.
Call what you can call that gives one team an advantage over the other. Like if the team has a penalty that's borderline, it gives them a big advantage over the other, call it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If there's a holding penalty at the point of attack, okay. If a guy's throwing the football at him and he can't get to it because the guy's holding, call it. Okay. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah. We'll see where it goes. But, you know,
spot the ball right and let's go.
You know, like we've talked about in the past, Baltimore, when we were getting ready for the divisional playoff last year, we talked about how they dare the officials to throw the flag defensively.
Particularly in crucial downs.
Right.
Because officials just don't want to get involved.
They don't want to throw it five plays in a row.
You get them down inside your own end zone and you're getting them down close. Officials don't want to make a call that affects the outcome of the game. So defenses know that, and they play ultra-aggressive, knowing that the official is going to get tired of calling penalties.
Yeah. So be interesting to see how their officiating history impacts how this game is played. We've been hearing nothing but physicality needed to win this game. Can they get more physical than usual with an officiating crew that doesn't call a ton of penalties? We'll have to see. More on this game tomorrow, because one day simply is not enough. Steve and I back tomorrow at 1. We'll see you then.